Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, it's coming. Rod Forrest.
Hampton.
Sean.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take
OB.
It.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Goss.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bear.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. I am Mark Carman, the Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich, Glenn Kozlowski, and the Bears lose to the Lions 20-17. On some level, I was super happy with how they competed today, guys, and you saw a lot from the quarterback. I think people are happy with Matt Barkley, but you got to catch the football, Josh Bellamy. I don't think there's any Bear fan out there, Dan Hampton, that wouldn't mind if Josh Bellamy was no longer on the football team.
Well, first of all, and you hit it right on the nail on the head. You know, it was a fantastic effort by the entire team.
Really was.
Where we had an excellent chance to steal a win and throw the entire division up for grabs. But, you know, all year long, we beat the coaching staff up. John Fox and his group, well, guess what? Not today. Most of the time, we've had big issues with poor planning and horrible execution. Today, game plans were terrific, both offensively and defense. Offense, we pounded Jordan Howard. He looked great. The offensive line was terrific. Up until the last drive, where two holding calls crippled our chance to kick a game-tying field goal. And on the defense, Vic Fangio does it again. Matt Barkley, you brought his name up. He's made himself some money, Kaz. He outplayed Matt Stafford in all facets today. But most important, it was just criminal. The heartbreaking drops that he's had to endure the last 3 weeks as a starter. And first and foremost among them is Jingle Bellamy. This clown, I don't know how I could throw the ball at him ever again in a game, because you know something bad will happen. And it was a dagger of a...
Let's talk about what you're both upset about. Yeah, it was a fourth down and 11 with 30 seconds to go. And he runs a nice route, tightly covered, but he leaves his feet. What he continues to do on a regular basis, he keeps jumping up, leaving his feet. And, of course, it hits him in his right bicep, which is the catch that sets it up for a field goal. But it also gives you a chance to throw it in the end zone. So that's what you're talking about. That's a frustration.
The dagger
flat out
of
dropped
a drop.
It on fourth down and 11, and he had the first down if he just catches the damn ball.
And if you rewind it back to, the Bears were called for two holding penalties on the final drive, and they overcame all of it and had the perfect throw to Bellamy that would have given him a first down, at least a field goal, and had a chance to win the game. And he had another drop on the sideline earlier that he should have had, and he had the drop in the Tennessee game that he would have won the football game that an eighth grader would catch. So it's been a rough, rough go for Josh Bellamy. Really rough.
He shouldn't be playing in the National Football League. It's not a knock on the kid, but he shouldn't be on the roster.
Because Kevin White can't find a way to keep from breaking a bone, and Alshon Jeffrey can't stay out of the PED department of your local pharmaceutical establishment, and Eddie Royal's got a sore toe. He can't play. So, unfortunately, this is the best we've got. This is the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, bottom of the barrel receivers that we've had to play with. And all that being said, Barkley, unfazed by it all, stood in there like Johnny Unitas on the last drive, throwing great throw after great throw after great throw. The touchdown throw that he made at the beginning of the fourth quarter is as good as any you'll ever see.
Right. That was a beautiful throw to Cameron Meredith. Hi, OB. Are you – go ahead, my man. You've been waiting in the wings over there. By the way,
Hampton. We wanted to give him his chance. We got ours out.
Yeah,
so go ahead, Ed.
Gentlemen, thank you very much, and I disagree with both you guys. The coaching plan today, to me –
I agree with you. Don't disagree with me.
I think they were
horrible, other than the defensive.
There is nobody on this planet is going to make me think that this is a coaching staff that has the knowledge to bring these kids up to a championship level. Now, why does it have to come down to the fourth quarter where everything is a struggle? Folks, with approximately a minute and 35 seconds to go in the first quarter, we're 2nd and 10 on Detroit's 15-yard line. There's an offside. It's 2nd and 15 on their 20. Then nothing happened. Then it's 3rd and 15 on their 20. Notice, folks, not one time did we try to go into the end zone and score a touchdown. For God's sakes, we won 3 games. What are you thinking about when you're down in the red zone on a 15-yard line and you don't try to put 7 on a board? That's not coaching to me. That's stupidity. I don't give a damn what anybody says.
And you know what? You have there's a lot of merit in what you say, OB. But what I just said, when I saw throwing to Alshon, we're not throwing to NFL caliber receivers.
That's a lot of them, and it's a harsh statement to make.
I got it.
I mentioned before, it's a bad statement. Is, folks, some of these people have no right being in this league. And that's enough said about that. But I can't get this out of my mind. We're in the fourth quarter. We were down there, Glenn and Dan, in the first quarter with a minute and 30 seconds to go in the first quarter, and we don't try one time on the 15-yard line, on the 10-yard line, to score a touchdown, and you're telling me that's professional coaching, that's NFL coaching, that's Super Bowl coaching?
Nope.
I know exactly what it is. It's sheer stupidity.
Well, and that's why, to point out, Detroit, even though Matthew Stafford threw a pick in the fourth quarter in the end zone, he was throwing it into the end zone, and ultimately, you know, say whatever you want, but they ended up winning the game because they stayed aggressive and they kept taking
the shots
into
whole
the end
zone. The whole damn point was this, is that right in the beginning of the game, I mean, we had a chance. We haven't won, like 3 games we've won? And you're fighting and you're slugging it out? And you mean to tell me Loggins, our offensive coordinator, Fox, our general manager, come down, there's 4 games left. My God, when we get into the red zone, we're scoring. Let's go after it. Let's try to make a statement. What are you trying to win the game, 16-17?
Well, here's
and then qualify for the toilet bowl in Flushing, New York?
Here's something I'll point out, too. I just almost dropped my water and still caught it. And I'm so old I can't see anymore, and I still was able to catch the water bottle falling off the table. Hint, hint to said B NFL wide receivers on this roster.
Yeah, but you.
But and it's easy to say, hey, throw it in the. I got it. But I'm just saying, there has to be
a reason, right?
Well, there. If you don't have the weapons, everybody kind of accepts and settles for the field goal, especially early in the game. And you're exactly right. But down the stretch, we had every opportunity to not only maybe score and win the game, but it was the breakdown. You know, Charles Leno Jr. has played pretty well all year. That's the first time anybody's mentioned his name
in a month. It's true.
And Ted Larson, he had a tough job with Haloti Ngata today. But all in all, the offensive line played great. The holes. You told me 3 different times during the course of the game, OB.
Could have drove a truck through them.
Where are they? I've never seen anything like this. It was amazing. The offensive line, you cannot. But the 2 critical holding calls late in the game, it comes down to lack of discipline
and football and awareness. Football awareness,
and
because
guys,
they
cannot take a holding call there.
Dan and Glenn, I totally understand that. I totally get it. But with 4 games to go, and we know who we are, and still, to me, you're playing scared to death. Scared to death football. I don't understand it, and I never will understand it, and there's not a person on this planet that can explain it to me.
Hampton OB is sponsored with Cause. It's sponsored by Martin Chevy, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Remember, too, to learn how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago. That's Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. We'll recap exactly what happened a little bit coming back here. I mean, the Bears had the lead, 17-13, with 7 minutes to go off of Cravon LeBlanc. Beautiful 24-yard interception, pick six. And the Lions went down and scored. The Bears had an opportunity to take it home. It just did not happen. But there is a lot of positive from today.
There is. And, you know, we're going to get into this. Please give us a shout if you've got some different thoughts. But the bottom line is we outplayed the Detroit Lions.
They
the
did.
Leaders in our division, why aren't we 8-4 or 9-4
now? 9-4 now, right?
Yeah. I mean, we beat Detroit before. We outplayed them today. And again, it goes back, and I said, all year long, we've beat the hell out of the coaches. Well, for once, we performed very well, but it was the lack of execution down the stretch in so many little areas that cost us another win.
312-981-7200 if you want to jump on. We're on CLTV until 4 o'clock with you till 5:30 on 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, also on CLTV until 4 o'clock. I'm Mark Harmon. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz. 20-17. The Detroit Lions improved to 9-4 as the Bears, thank you, slip to 3-10.
Freudian slip.
You're thinking about dropping balls.
Something's on my mind. I'm not exactly sure what.
We'll examine later.
Yes, the Mueller game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. Kaz, you want to take that?
Sure. It was the two holding calls in the last drive for the Chicago Bears. It looked like they got into the red zone. Meredith made a nice catch, made a nice run after the catch. Tough part about it is, really, our tackle did a good job in that last bit where he grabbed the guy's shoulder and pulled him down. If he just lets him go around the edge, he doesn't even hit Barkley. And then, you know, Larson, honestly, did a good job until the end when he hooked him around his waist. And these are the things that as a lineman, you got to have a little clock in your head, Ed, where it ticks and you say 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't hit the block anymore because the ball has to be away. They don't do that. Those are the little things we're talking about. Week 14 or 13, they should know these things. They don't. Those were the game-changing moments. Bears still overcame all that. Barkley threw the ball where he needed to, and then he hit. He made the decision to throw it to Bellamy. And I don't want to pick on the kid because, truthfully,
Bellamy.
It speaks for itself. And he didn't make the play, but I got to say, Barkley, say whatever you want. And I know we fall in love with our backup quarterbacks, but this kid went up against one of the best defenses in the National Football League and outplayed the possibly MVP of the league this year.
There was talk. He's in the conversation, maybe one of the top five candidates for MVP of the NFL this year, except when he plays a Vic Fangio defense. Defense, you can't say enough about what we were doing. We were playing a press man under zone that just really frustrated the Lions the entire day. They tried to get the running game going a little bit, but even with all the injury replacements, you know, the defensive line put a lot of pressure on Stafford. Didn't sack him a lot, ran him out of the pocket, ran him ragged, hit him a bunch. And again, you know, we outplayed a team that's probably going to win the division now.
I don't think they will, but I mean, I agree with you. They're in first place right now.
Hey, they got
they're 9-4 run that is going to be really brutal.
And Green Bay is 6-6, and Minnesota is now 7-6. I mean, they've got a 2-game lead with 3 to go. It's hands. Well, either way, the point is, this is the team that everybody's going to say, well, they're going to be in the play. We outplayed them, beat them here, and outplayed them in all facets today except the critical drops and mistakes down the stretch.
Vikings came back to beat the Jaguars today 25-16 if you're paying attention to the division.
Well, they got, you know, listen, I mean, Detroit, what do they have? Dallas, Seattle, and then Green Bay. So, I mean, it's, you know, they've got a – this was a game they had to win today if they wanted to stake any claim.
Guys, gentlemen – we've been going through 3 more games left, right?
That's correct.
And we keep saying the same thing. The defense has basically been there game in and game out. And what I see is a philosophy on this team that does not belong, as far as I'm concerned, in the National Football League. We've got a defense trying to get takeaways, trying to stop the run, trying to stop the pace game after game after game, and working their butt off, okay? Offensively, the game planning on this one game all year, they had the game plan right. One game. Barkley's been playing really good the last three games. But, gentlemen, that's not the problem. The problem is the philosophy of playing scared-to-death football. Offensively, when do we attack to go downfield, guys? Somebody tell me in 13 games, when do we stretch the field?
Well, we threw a touchdown in the fourth quarter, that or third quarter. That was
a moment.
Great play.
There's
that was one.
One
of the moments, though.
There's 13 games we played. When do we try to move it? And when all year long and we're in the red zone, I, for the life of me, can't figure this out. Let's play a 16-17 game, a 20-21 game. It's always a hope and a prayer. I agree with Dan. Defensively, they're there. They're good. We can win with that. But offensively, who's ever getting the personnel, and the philosophy has to change. Which brings me to this point. I went to dinner Friday night at Rosebud on Taylor Street.
Uh-huh.
And Ann and I were walking out, and there was a group, a guy, I mean, it was a huge party. There was like 20 guys, a gigantically long, long tables put together, 20 guys. And as we're walking out, they stopped me. And the bottom line was this. And I grabbed Louis Falazano, the manager. I told him, I said, Louis, get me out of here. You know what it was, folks? They want the Bears sold.
Oh, of course.
They want, I mean, man to man, and I've been hearing that more and more. Now, is that because of what the Hawks have done? Is that because, obviously, what the Cubs have done?
Yes.
But I'm telling you, you're getting that cry more and more. I couldn't believe it. Boy, I couldn't wait till I got out of there. And they just, McCaskey, sell a team. No, they got to sell a team. Well, I think if we do this and that, no, they got to sell a team. And that's what seems to be the theory.
Right, because it's
or
always
the thoughts.
Well, it's always at the top, right? I mean, that's
how it
works.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not going to happen. So let's deal in reality. And the reality of it is that
tell you something. Somebody offers enough money.
Virginia is here and making decisions on behalf of the organization. It's going to stay in the family, and that's here nor there. I think
she's making the decisions?
Well, obviously, you know, I mean, I think those kind of decisions she's making, but not the others, obviously.
Okay.
But I would say this, back up, because you had a, you know, the one point that would jump out at me is the philosophy on offense. You know, they got rid of Adam Gase. I shouldn't say got rid of. Adam Gase got a head coaching job. I was one of those guys said, I don't know if he's very good. Well, look, he has Miami playing their tails off. And quite frankly, it's the same offensive system, but here's what I know. When Adam Gase is calling the plays, it's really good. When Loggins is calling the plays, it looks like the singer and songwriter Loggins, right? I mean, it's not good.
Kenny,
so there's something about that matters more than anything else. Identifying the right offensive
Glenn,
coordinator.
But this has been all year.
Right,
second down and 10 on the 15 in the red zone. Second down and 15. Third down and 15. And again. And again, game after game, that's all we see. When we get into the red zone or near it, and we don't stretch the field, we don't go into the end zone. Somebody tell me different.
Philosophy, you're right, and that's my point. I'm agreeing with you and telling you it starts with the offensive coordinator and his ability to make calls that actually put players in those positions to even have the quarterback try and throw it down the field.
Hey, trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. JeffVuk.com, serving our area for 38 years. Nationwide is on your side. JeffVuk.com. NewsPodcast.com. Biggest story of the week. We haven't touched on it yet. We're going to do that coming back with Vic Fangio and John Fox and whatever's going on.
Bye, John Fox.
Here's another story. How about let's get some real officiating in the NFL?
That was
about as bad as I've seen in a long time.
Both ways, right? For both teams.
They were taking turns.
You know,
the Lions had 5 first downs by penalties, and some of these calls they were making on the interference I don't know what they're looking at.
We appreciate your patience on the phone lines too. We'll get to some of your reaction coming back as well. 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN CLTV until 4 o'clock.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN CLTV till 4. The Lions beat the Bears 20-17. This is Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Who Lit It Up is sponsored by Nika IBEW, Local 134 Chicago, your complete energy solutions provider. Let's give you that one to the Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton. Who do you think?
The latest folk legend in Chicago, Matt Barkley. Hey, folks, come on. That was a real-time test. The big stage on the road, tough place to play against. We always struggle with Detroit there. They're in a fight, a fist fight, leading the division, needs to win, blah, blah, blah. Matt Barkley not only played great, he outplayed their ace in the hole, Matt Stafford. His stats were very impressive, 20 of 32, 212 yards with a 92.2 quarterback rating, about 30 points better than Matt Stafford, who I think is the third highest paid player in all of pro football.
He also had drops from Cameron Meredith, who was targeted 8 times, caught 6. Bellamy was targeted 7 times, caught 3.
Exactly. Well, how productive would this guy have been the last 3 weeks if it was the minimal amount of drops? Yeah, somebody's going to drop one here and there. But, my God, he had 10 2 weeks ago. Last week he had, I think, 5 or 6, and today at least another half dozen. So, I mean, what he is doing, I'm shocked. And, OB, you just said, I cannot believe this guy's been in the NFL. This is his 4th year, and nobody's really giving him a chance because he's impressing the heck out of us.
Listen, I think the kid is legitimate. I mean, he came in under extreme pressure to perform and actually move the team down the field and pass and do all this stuff. Well, actually, you hire him. I mean, they should, but most of them really don't. But I'll tell you what, Barkley's impressed the hell out of me. And what they ought to do is sign this kid. I got that note from Mike Mueller. But anyways, sign him up and draft. And all you'd have to do, Pace, next year, 2017, draft offense. Not one defensive player. Not one. Draft offense.
Draft about 5 receivers, please.
Preferably a tight end. Yeah.
312.
I like Daniel Brown.
Yeah, I like him. And then you got your other guy coming back off the foot injury. But here's the other thing. I don't think that you – I'm still bothered because I can't figure out how we don't – everybody else in the league has injuries at wide receivers, and they plug in other people that they find here, there, and everywhere.
Coaching.
And it seems that these guys could perform. So only the Bears have this issue. So I'm not even sure that you have to waste – high draft picks on wide receivers as much as, you know, the O-line is so they're not good up
Glenn,
front.
We talked about this last week with this Bellamy. I mean, he's running in full stride. Barkley hits him right on the numbers, and he catches the – when he catches it, he falls to the ground.
He's
diving off a cliff and just made the greatest catch on the history of this planet. Or he's jumping in the air, fumbling the ball around. And what I said, that just didn't happen yesterday or the week before. That's been going on week after week after week. Now somebody's got to take a look at the position coach. You mean to tell me you're letting this kid do this to practice week after week after week? And he still continues to do this?
Well, they tried to work on it this week. Obviously, didn't work out.
Tell a story. You mentioned about this past week, the receiver coach, started working with him all week.
Yes.
Why the hell didn't he
not
do
not
that?
Not his feet and catching the ball.
How about there's a
the
thing
ground.
Called training camp and exhibition games? How about trying to train him then?
Yeah.
They weren't expected to be this deep in the wide receiver pool right after.
Nonsense. Hey, everybody on that team needs to be able to compete and win with.
You shouldn't be on the roster if you can't play NFL caliber football.
There is an answer to that, Mark. And the answer, you know, if you're saying, well, the guy, what? Listen, if the guy's that bad, what's he doing on this team?
I agree with you.
What is he doing on this team?
A lot of guys out there that can catch the football. That's my point.
It's not right? like you can't find
We went through this week one with Ted Larson. He was the center through training camp, and then they decided the guy can't play center. Well, he started today at right guard the last 4 weeks with Kyle Long out. But still, what was he doing on the team as a center if you can't play center? It's crazy. They make a lot of bad decisions.
This is what I'm talking about. Started last week, and I started talking about it. It's position coaching. There's going to be a lot of changes. I bet on it.
312-981-7200. Let's get to some of your reaction. Mike in Rockford, you're on 720 WGN. We're on CLTV till 4. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you. Listen, don't get mad at me. I know you guys all played the game, and there's a lot of pride and hard work that goes in every preparing. But I got to tell you, I'm glad they lost for two reasons. Diehard Bear fan, and you're probably thinking, how could he say that and you want him to lose? Because I absolutely despise the Green Bay Packers in the division. I don't hate the Vikings or the Lions. And I know that if the Lions would have lost today, I know it always happens at the end of the year, Packers are going to play and they're going to get the division. And it can't. So that's one reason. Second, they'll get a better draft pick. So you know what? All I saw, guys, was Matt Barkley shine. I know it's putting the cart before the horse, but I'm not trying to say anything. But this guy has some talent. And let's look who he's throwing to, guys. He doesn't have a starting tight end that would start in any other team in the National Football League. He's got third and fourth string receivers that he's throwing to. I mean, if he would have had Kevin White and Alshon Jeffrey, can you imagine maybe the yards this guy's putting up? And even like, you know, a Miller for tight end. I mean, guys, I'm telling you, given what he's got to work with, plus a patched up offensive line, guys, you got to give this guy some credit. I know you are, but I think given if you can stand up offensive line, get a tackle in the off season, either through the draft or through free agency, build up that line, guys, and get everybody else healthy. I mean, come on. I mean, Barkley could be, you know, adequate. What do you think?
We got you, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, Mike, real quickly. Okay, let's go to the assumption that Barkley's our guy, and he's going to be our guy. The next move in the draft, in free agency and the draft coming in 2017, what do? You get five guys in front of them. You keep this kid upright, and that's how you win. That's how you start to win. You got to get those five guys up front that can block and play.
You got two MVP candidates in Dallas. They're both rookies, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, and a lot of that is who's in front of them, right? I don't think anybody would argue
no
that.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Tony Romo would be a great player this year if he was healthy.
If you look, Mark, if you look it up, I think of those five guys, I think four out of the five or five out of the five
are
first-round draft picks.
That's
at
right.
Dallas.
That's right.
What they've been doing. They keep the guys up front to keep the main guy upright.
More reaction coming up here, 312-981-7200. Also, when we come back, we'll have the defensive star of the game, bunch to choose from there. And we are here till 5:30 and on CLTV until 4 o'clock. It's 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers. ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Touchdown Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears had the lead with 7 minutes to go, but they fall to the Lions 20-17, 3-10, as we are here till 5:30. Happen will be with Kaz on 720 WGN CLTV until 4. The defensive star of the game brought to you by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hamp, there was a big pick there. I think that's probably where we're going.
Well, the pick six put us in the lead and gave us a great opportunity to win a game. And, more importantly, he played great. And this was a kid everybody back in, I think it was early October, said, Cravon LeBlanc, who is this? All he has done is work himself into the starting cornerback. He had the task of being on Golden Tate all day, which is a tough task. And this guy, Tate, is as nifty as anybody in the league. He had four passes defended besides the interception for a touchdown.
Yep.
As many as the rest of the secondary combined. So this kid, hats off. He's gotten better and better and better. And now Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell, the secondary coach, they find these kids. I don't know where they find him, but just like Callahan.
Yeah, he made
these
a
kids,
tip. And
they make plays.
Tip, right?
And that's what you want, a secondary player that thinks offensively. They make plays.
I think fans want to know. I want to know. I want to ask you guys. Ball's in the air. If you're a competent cornerback – a lot of times today the Bears could have had more interceptions, but they don't locate the football. How can you be in the NFL? And by the way, you see that not
you
just on the Bears, all over
look.
The league.
You got to actually turn to find the ball.
Kaz was talking about the offensive line. Okay, 1,001, 1,002. Okay, all right, let him go. Don't hold. That's where you get caught. Same thing as a secondary player. Hey, 1,001, 1,002, you better start turning and looking for the ball. If it's coming, it's in the air. And you've got to have that mechanism in your head to make you be disciplined about it. And you know, like a little song in the back of your head, 1,001, okay, I better. We don't do it well enough. And you know what? Of all the things, our secondary participants, they again, think about this. Kyle Fuller is a first-round draft pick that they don't even want to have back on the field. You know, he had the little ticky-tack knee scope back in August. They're not even wanting him to come back. You know, and I know, if he had, you know, the attitude where I want to help the team, I'm doing it. They're going with these other kids. They're telling me, you know, we like what we see out of these young guys like Callahan and LeBlanc. So, you know, I know this kid. He's been a godsend because we needed him.
I mean, Bryce Callahan's the second problem, season out of Rice. He's had a lot. He had a bunch of passes deflected today. He made some nice tackles too.
To answer your question, Mark, what they don't do is they get in great positions in coverage and they're right on the guy's hip, and that's when you have to actually turn your head and look for the football.
Realize you got to make a play on the ball.
They haven't figured that piece of it out. But the fact that they get – and here's what happens when you get into that position, Ed, and you don't look back for the ball, you get called for PI because now you're jockeying for position with a guy and you're so focused on him that the guy's going to slow down. It's going to be a PI unless you turn – find the ball, and you could run over the receiver if you're looking for the ball. Then PI's off the table because you looked back. That's
and a
how
bunch of guys we've had here don't even get in position on the hip. So they
right,
can't
yeah.
even get
these
that
young
far
guys
down the
are
line.
At least getting in the
yeah,
right
in
spots. They're just not finishing the plays yet.
Yes, Obi?
Well, no, I was just saying, and it's just to me, I hear the guys, and they know exactly what they're talking about. What they're saying is right on. Total and true, but I'm going to tell you
something.
I
love seeing you smile. It's
nothing beautiful. Has happened. Nothing will happen until somebody could figure out the reason why you have a training camp and the reason why you play four exhibition games and the reason why you play 16. Until somebody can give this team direction, you're going to get the same crap next year and the year after and the year after.
You're right.
Unfortunately, what he's saying is dump Fox, but nobody's going to listen to that now because, oh, well, we played better.
We played hard.
It's
hard.
So, gentlemen, it's so true, Mark, and to our listeners, they did nothing in training camp. They did nothing in the exhibition season. And so far, they're 3-10, and what have they done? Nothing.
312-981-7200. Get a couple more calls in here. Mike in Hyde Park's been waiting for a half an hour. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say to OB, I've been following you since I relocated here 25 years ago. I love your comments, and I'm glad they got half and cars on, too, because they're the real deal. But my comment is I think Ryan Pace has done a great job, but I think John Fox has got to go. Man, you got to be out there trying to win. I mean, they're 3-9. What you playing around for?
10.
They playing like they're trying to get a playoff spot. You're supposed to be playing for whatever. They should be trying to win the game. That's my
good point.
OB, do you think he should stay another year or not?
Thanks, Mike.
I'm going to tell you, I still think if this guy drops the next three games, even though we're talking about a lot of money, somebody's going to have to make a real hard and harsh decision. I would say, Mike, if he doesn't pull a victory out in the next three games, I'd say he's adios.
I would agree with that, too, because that's the ultimate collapse.
I mean, I was out at Hallis Hall for practice on Wednesday. A lot of stuff going on out there with John Fox and Vic Fangio on that day. The consensus around that room is that John Fox absolutely is going to be back, and the way he comports himself is certainly of a guy who thinks he's coming back. So
keep losing.
Which see. Almost – and let me just tell you this. In talking with head coaches, and I've known a number of them that were fired or whatever, Their overarching philosophy is, even if they don't know what they're doing, even if they don't know the answers, to put up a front like they do. Because once you show a little crack in the armor, then everybody's going. So Fox is going to act like, you know, he's Gorbachev
in charge, right.
And, until the end of time. All I'm saying is getting the hell out of here. I'm telling you, we've got Ryan Pace
That's
has
simple.
Put together a pretty good nucleus. And this draft picks that he had this year, they've added. And then you get some other people that come back. Hey, and Barkley's showing what he's doing. And get some of the receivers back. And another year with our defensive backfield playing as well as they have in spots at front seven. Hakeem Hicks is going to go to the Pro Bowl. He had six tackles and a sack today.
He keeps getting better, doesn't he?
He is playing his can off. I'm just saying, a lot of good reasons to say we got a chance to win next year without Fox.
Okay. Whatever happens at the end of this year, whether Fox stays or he goes or whatever happens here, folks, I am telling you there is nothing going to happen until there's a philosophy change. I keep going back game after game. We're worried about winning this game in the last few seconds when in the first quarter, minute 35 to go, we're knocking on a door. Not one damn time do we try to score a touchdown. We've only won three games. You telling me that's a winning philosophy?
No, and that's the head coach that sets that pace.
It's
that's
well,
we're getting to.
I'm telling you, whatever happens, somebody fires, get goes, Pace, and somebody up in the ivory tower. Guys, you better change your philosophy around here.
We might hear
change your philosophy.
Could hear from that guy, John Fox, coming up to start the 4 o'clock hour here. Thank you to CLTV.
Where's my earplugs? Hey, let me just say one more thing. And, OB, hey, I understand you're, you know, let's go for the juggler. Let's be, you know, offensive.
What do you got
let's
to
go.
Lose?
Hey, I got it. I'll tell you what you got to lose. You have a motion penalty on the right guard, Ted Larson, and then you back it up with, you run out of time. The clock expires, and you got delay of game. So now – You got third and 15 from the 20, and you know what? That's when it's almost acceptable to pull your horns in, you know, kind of throw something underneath and kick a field goal. After two successive plays with the mistakes. I understand.
Maybe if you're 10 and 13, but you're 3.
Yeah, but
10.
I don't think you change your approach. You're always trying to win. Regardless of your record, the philosophy should be to win. And that's look, 10-3, 3-10, you're always trying to win. So it shouldn't be, you know, what your record is and what you should be trying to do. You should always try to win in this league.
You're
don't give
right.
any opportunities.
You're right, Kaj. You know what? For somebody to be such a stumble bum and make so many mistakes game after game after game like Fox does, it has to be a way of life for him.
Yeah. I mean, clearly. And that's the philosophy change. Forget the ivory tower. The head coach sets the pace. He says how we're going to do it. And if you're not trying to actually win games that, no matter what your damn record is, then you get out of Dodge because it's about winning.
Bingo. I've been saying it all year, guys. I know exactly what the hell went on in training camp and all the way through here. And what you got is a bunch of mishmash, a bunch of junk out there.
Hey, and Jordan Howard caught a screen pass for
that was
17
actually,
yards.
That was,
he caught the
I
ball.
Was thrilled
yes.
He caught it.
Progress. 312-98.
You know, I don't know what. He got a penalty, though. They caught him with glue on his fingers.
Nothing wrong with that. Most of the Raiders used to stick on the fences when they'd get pushed into them, and they had to pry them off.
Oh, the sticking they use? Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's 312-981-7200 if you want to jump on in. We will have news coming on right back and then talk to you. Also hear from John Fox and Matt Barkley straight ahead. Adam Hogue, 435, 720 WGN.
back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, indeed. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Lions beat the Bears 20-17. If you're curious what's going on around the NFL at this very moment, the Packers are leading the Seahawks 7-3 up in Green Bay. 11 minutes to go in the second quarter there. The Packers have the football. The Vikings came back and beat Jacksonville today. That was interesting. Minnesota was down, but the Vikings come back and are now 7-6. The Lions with their ninth win on the year. It's time now for Who Brought It Today. That's sponsored by your Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois card. You know what to bring through it all. Hamp, who brought it?
Well, I think it was three different people. First and foremost, you know, Jordan Howard loved to watch this kid run. He averaged 6.5 yards per carry, 13 carries, 86 yards. Matt Barkley, you know, we've already talked about him. He had a quarterback rating 30 points better than Matt Stafford. But I want to say Vic Fangio, you know, the defense as a whole played really well and forced Matt Stafford, a guy that had 14 touchdowns and only one interception since we saw him October 2nd. He was playing great, and we forced him into mistake after mistake after mistake. Two interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of 64.6. That'll be the lowest of the year for him. So I like Vic Fangio as well.
Well, we'll see if Vic Fangio will be here next year. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But let's hear from the head coach, John Fox, at the podium, Ford Field, as the Bears fell to the Lions 20-17. Here's the head coach.
Update from the injuries from the game today. Tracy Porter, illness, left the game, did not return. Eddie Goldman, ankle, also left the game and did not return. Any questions?
John, the final drive for those two penalties, your reaction to having two big plays going back on?
Well, obviously disappointment. You know, we're trying to go down and either tie or win the game. You know, until we look at it, you know, those are parts of the game, things we have to clean up, get better, and, you know, learn from, hopefully. And, you know, we won't really, you don't see those types of things until you look at the tape. But we'll evaluate that, correct it, and move forward. No, in a hurry-up mode, you typically don't get those long explanations.
What's the most about Matt Barkley's play?
You know, I think the young man's continued to impress me. He's been, you know, thrown in, you know, on the road in Green Bay. You know, he came in and started, you know, with a week's work and performed well. You know, the conditions he played a week ago, you know, at home, even though it was at home, it was still tough conditions for a quarterback or anybody that handles the ball. And then really to come here on the road against a good football team and, you know, in a loud environment, you know, I've just continued to be impressed by the kid's performance, and I thought it was good without seeing the film. You know, I think, again, until I really look at it slowed down and whatnot, there's drops in every game. You know, there's good throws in every game. Some poor throws sometimes. So we'll evaluate that. But all in all, I think the guy gave us a chance to win. It was outstanding. You know, he's an accurate passer. I think he's proved that. I think he doesn't get rattled. You know, he wasn't rattled by, you know, road noise, crowd noise. You know, I think his teammates respond to him well. And he is an accurate passer. He hangs in there. You know, he hangs in there to make throws that not everybody can.
Turnovers were a big thing talking about. Mm-hmm. They always are. How nice to see two in a row?
Well, they were big. They kept us in the game, gave us a chance to win the game. I think, you know, they're all relative to points. You know, I think the one in the end zone took points off the board of them. And then, of course, Cravon's interception, you know, put points on the board for us. So, you know, they're real important to wins. Unfortunately, we came up a little short today. You know, I think, you know, the defensive staff did a good job of, you know, scouting some situations. I think Cravon did a good job of, you know, obviously, you know, studying it. You know, he felt the route coming and made a good break and ended up good for us.
A lot of young guys out there. Do you learn anything about your team when you have these guys, you know, hustle road environment and you're losing and come back and take a lead? What do you see from these guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, these guys have fought their tails off, man, all season. You know, we haven't had the most good fortune when it comes to injuries, although not be the worst. So it's not excuses, but, you know, it's giving young guys opportunities. You know, you mentioned Matt Barkley, you know, Cravon LeBlanc, you know, our receiving core is all new. You know, Daniel Brown, you know, I think most people probably a couple weeks ago didn't even know who he was. But, you know, he continues to impress. So, you know, eventually, you know, this is going to help us, and this experience will help those individual players.
Into the game knowing that he might be limited.
No, that caught us a little bit off guard. It was very real. You know, I mean, you know, so he was very sick quickly. But I don't know all the exacts. I don't want to get into it too much, not being a doctor. But obviously, he could not return.
How do you think the rest of your defensive backfield?
You know, again, just short of winning. You know, kind of like the rest of us.
And there's a lot of penalties in the secondary. Is there any feel for the confidant?
Not really. You know, I think you look at penalties different as a coach. You know, those are aggressive penalties. You know, not that you want to encourage them by any stretch, but, you know, all the penalties in this league are a little bit different every week. So we'll look at it. We'll evaluate it and on all fronts and hopefully get better for it.
You talked about the positives earlier in the week that you see that maybe other teams are able to beat them up. Was the effort today, was there something today that emerged as a positive?
Well, I think I've seen it for some time. You know, I think our margin for error right now is very minimal. Obviously, effort's not an area we're deficient in. You know, like I said, there's a certain way and kind of way you play, and our guys, I think, are doing a good job with that. It's just a little bit short. We don't play quite well enough to win consistently.
A lot of guys on offense really haven't done this before.
Well, that's all part of what we do, you know, is the events and the response, and typically they equal the outcome. So, you know, you try to train guys to have the right response to get the right outcome, and we're learning.
And you talked about staff at all. We do call it on what's made him such a clutch quarterback the way you did.
Well, I mean, I think the way he entered the league, I mean, I think it says a lot about, you know, what most people thought of him. But, you know, I've watched him continue to improve, not taking anything away from him. I think he's, you know, today was even a little bit out of the ordinary as far as the turnovers. They've done a great job of not turning it over, and I think that's a big reason why they've been on the winning streak they've been on. I think, you know, defensively they've taken more of a bend-but-don't-break approach. Their point total's down. So they're doing things that you need to do to win.
There you have it, the head coach, John Fox. It's the most Fox we've played in about 10 weeks here. Hamp, your thoughts.
Well, okay. First of all, I can't understand him when he talks. Second of all, I can't understand him when he talks. And
yeah.
And what I'm saying is his equivocating line of BS.
You stole my line.
Yeah. His equivocating line of BS on why we come up short on a weekly basis. It's blah, blah, lowering expectations, almost like Kyle. Well, we're not good enough here and there. Hey, why don't we run a fake punt? Why don't we onside kick every once in a while? We're 3-10, for God's sakes. Why don't you tell your quarterback, your offensive coordinator, hey, when we're in on the 30-plus, let's go for the goal line. And more importantly, it's just one of those things that every week you could take this tape and replay it. Next week, it'll be the same line of acceptance BS. It's like, oh, well, we're not quite. That's your job to get this team good enough.
You know what, Dan and Glenn and Mark, and to our listeners, isn't it? I mean, don't you think of the 53 guys on that team that somebody would have that thought, especially like in that first quarter when they're right down there and to put six on the board, knowing your total situation, where you at, how many victories, losses, everything about it. And wouldn't you think, Glenn, that they'd go out and have a beer afterwards? And what? Why the hell aren't we trying to score?
Right.
I mean, I can't get this out of my mind. To have this go first, second, third, fourth down, or whenever you're down there and you don't try to put – you don't try to score? I mean, I'm telling you, folks, our listeners out there, I can't eat, and I don't understand it, and there's not a person out there can explain it to me.
Let me give you the injury report, which is brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the New South Loop. So you had a bunch of stuff going on out there. For one, as John Fox talked about, Tracy Porter left the game mysteriously with an illness that just came out of nowhere, apparently. He just basically took himself out of the game and headed to the locker room. Ben Broniker, the tight end, has also sent to the x-ray room. Kadeem Carey was taken to the x-ray room at Ford Field. So the Bears are coming out of this a little bit banged up, but nothing significant, as they've had all season long, one of the most injured teams in the entire league. Let's get a quick timeout. We can get some calls in here, 312-981-7200. Hampton OB is sponsored by Martin Nissan. And don't forget, raised in Chicago, reporting on Chicago, that is Mark Sapelsa, Micah Mater. Watch Chicago's very own Mark and Micah weeknights on WGN TV News. We'll hear from the quarterback coming back here, Matt Barkley. How long will he be the quarterback? Maybe a while. We'll see. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
So the Bears lose to the Lions 20-17. They're 3-10. We're going to hear from the quarterback, Matt Barkley, in a second. I hate to say this to you guys. I've been sitting on it, but I just want to put it out there. I feel like today was absolutely perfect. You had an opportunity for the quarterback to be out there with the game on the line and 3 minutes to go. He showed you that he absolutely is capable of doing it. And because you have receivers who can't catch the football, you ended up losing the game. And I know that you can mess up a draft pick if you're picking five or you're picking three. But at the end of the day, you really would rather have the high draft pick. So really, I think what you wanted to see today, you saw against a good team on the road. To me, that's a positive, even though you didn't win.
I think what you just said, I agree with you 100%. You put it very nicely.
Okay.
Quite honestly, yeah, you know, and I have to pick the game on Fox, and I took Detroit for a lot of reasons. And first and foremost, you know, Barkley had looked good against less than competition. Tennessee, their pass secondary was horrid, and he torched them. Okay, they're not very good. Well, then we saw the 49ers. They're the worst in football. Okay, so now stepping up in class, going to Detroit, playing a contender, playing on the road for the first time ever as a starter. I didn't expect this, but every bar that you say you got to see him, you know, get over, he's done it. And more importantly, he gave us great chances to win. And both of those holding calls were great, you know, decisions and throws. It's not about how far you can throw it and how hard it's making the decision and getting the ball off. And he steps into his throws. There's a lot about this kid I am really liking.
Well, you know, this brings up a little thing going towards the end of the season. And is really like Cutler really, really gone? I mean, do you just cut him, let him go? Do you try to trade him? Do you package something together? Or do we keep him, bring Cutler back? You know, I don't think it's like as clean as people think it is. I'm not quite sure. But the one thing I am sure of, this kid, the last 2-3 weeks, he's shown me a lot.
Let's hear from Matt Barkley real quick. By the way, Green Bay in the end zone again. They lead the Seahawks 21-3. That's a bit of a stunner up in Green Bay. Here is Matt Barkley.
You really want to just get chunks at a time. You're not going to gain it all back in one play. You could, but your mindset, it's got to be just one play at a time, get something back so we can be in third manageable or fourth manageable. And I think we did that, gave ourselves a chance on fourth down, and we just got to make plays. And I think that it kind of defines the whole game, though. Some of those drives were just stunted by just not making plays. And starts with me, starts with up front, everyone across the board. We just got to make plays.
There was one that came back 27 yards to camp. What did you see on that play that made it
potentially
a big play?
To Cam on the right?
Left sideline, cut back over.
Oh, I got you. It's all still a blur, kind of. That was just a good window as an outcut. They're just dropping into coverage, into depth, trying not to prevent a big play, and there's going to be windows across the field like that. So he made a great play to make a guy miss and get positive yards and to get out of bounds all the way across the field. That was a great moment, but unfortunately, you know, penalties hold us back. But it was a good job by him of finding that window in that zone.
Those messages that you remind yourself of, share that
in the huddle too. I don't have a whole lot of time to give pep talks on some of those timeouts you do, but I just kind of clap my hands, tell them to lock in, let's go, listen up. So they know what to do. They know what to lock in, and they helped me out in the huddle, making sure guys were ready. Yeah.
What would you describe the fourth down play?
How would I describe it?
What did you receive? Catching the ball?
Yeah, it was a backside in that they've been it's been open earlier in the game, and we knew it would be there, and especially with the safeties playing as deep as they were, it was there, and so that's what I saw.
Matt Barkley, I thought he summed it up perfectly on the first one. We just got to make plays, i.e. catch the football. Quick timeout, get to your reaction. Adam Hogue covering the Bears right after 4:30, 7:20 WGN.
Barkley's pass up the middle is deflected. What's the call here? They say incomplete, and it will be a turnover on downs. It was Bellamy trying to go airborne for the catch, and the Lions are going to survive here at home.
I mean, it was deflected if you consider it deflected off his shoulder pad.
His bicep. Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, here's the reality, though. The catches that he can make is it's high above his head, and he has to jump up and stretch. Those are the catches.
A rebound catch.
Yeah,
that's
he
it.
Can make those plays. Any other play, he just really he struggles with it. Yes. Plain and simple.
Hampton will be with Kaz on 720 WGN with you until 5:30. That's when Blackhawks pregame will take over. Blackhawks and the Dallas Stars at the United Center tonight. Let's bring in Adam Hogue. His postgame report sponsored by C.J. Wilson Mazda online at ZoomNation.com. Adam, good afternoon. First question, will Josh Bellamy be cut?
I don't think so, but, you know, it's like his target spot is like a foot and a half above his head instead of like right at his chest or his hands where you normally want a football as a wide receiver. And so if it's thrown where it's supposed to be, he overjumps the ball. It's just bizarre. He has this weird, like, hitch in how he has to jump to catch everything. I don't even think I've seen that before from anybody.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't, you know, again, I'm sure he's a tremendous athlete and a great young man, but he just shouldn't be playing in the National Football League with the, and it's really not a foot above his head. It's probably about 3 feet above his head.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the foot above his head today, he jumped up and it hit him in his bicep on that last play. But let me ask you, because I know that you and Carmen go back and forth about the backup quarterbacks, and Chicago's had a history of loving their backup quarterbacks, but Matt, you know, Barkley today, this was a big test for him because this is a top eight defense in the National Football League. And, you know, the kid did everything you're supposed to do, especially at crunch time, to give your team a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, once again, he did everything he could, I thought, to give the Bears a chance to win this football game. And, you know, I think in the past I've been, quick to shoot down some of these other options at quarterback, but I absolutely believe that Matt Barkley should be, you know, part of this thing going forward.
Right.
But the question is, can they re-sign him? I mean, he's going to be a free agent. And let's remember that the Cardinals traded for this guy. The Bears went after him off of waivers. He's been sought after by other teams before. So I'm not saying he's going to break the bank with a huge contract or anything like that, but I'm not going to be surprised if there are other teams out there that want to go after Matt Barkley because every other team sees what the Bears have seen the last 3 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Matt Barkley. But
best chance, though, right, Adam, to sign him because he is here and he is comfortable with what they're doing.
Right. And they'll have the exclusive window after the season to bring him back. So, and if I'm Ryan Pace, I absolutely bring him back as part of the mix. Now, am I handing him the starting job in 2017? No way, but he's a 26-year-old who had talent at USC and is showing signs of that here in the NFL. So it's at least worth bringing him back and allowing him to compete for a job. And I think we're a long ways away from knowing how good he can or will be as a quarterback in the NFL. But you have to like what you've seen so far, and it is very impressive to me what he's done considering he's throwing to these guys like Josh Bellamy.
How about Brown, too, the tight end? I mean, I think we found a second tight end. And, again, I'm not going to say, look, is he going to beat out
Miller when he comes back? Maybe not, but this kid, you know, he could separate. He gets separation. He has good quickness. I don't know what kind of a blocker he is, but I will say this. Howard ran today pretty much untouched most of the time until he got to the almost the third level. You know, I mean, he had some big holes to run through. So, again, another guy, young guy, that is starting to develop, and there was a lot of quality or quality play by a lot of young players today.
Yeah, he's another guy, and like I've said the last couple weeks to you, I mean, this is all about individual scouting for this roster for 2017 right now with these games. So the Bears, yeah, they lost another close game. I know people don't want to hear about effort, but there is a lot of effort out there with what I'm calling a triple-A roster right now. And if you can find a guy like Daniel Brown, who joined his team mid-season, seems to have some ability, then, of course, you bring him back in the offseason, see what he can do once you go through another cycle of OTAs and mini camp and training camp, and you see where it all sorts out, you know, in late August next year. But absolutely, that's a guy I think you want to bring back. And, you know, it's tough because I think you still want to see the Bears pull out games like this today. Those holding calls at the end were tough to swallow. But to see Matt Barkley make some of those throws that he did on that drive when the opposing defense knows he's throwing the football.
Right.
Yeah, he was still making some very tough throws. I was impressed.
And better, and he's almost better in no-huddle situations.
Hurry up, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. Okay, big picture. Beyond the fact that our third-string quarterback played well with our 10th-string receivers and all that,
accurate.
Do you think that an effort like what we saw today, and I applauded them at the outset saying, hey, we had a great chance of stealing a game against the division leader, and all that being said, we've bungled and blundered it down the stretch. Is this a game that can keep John Fox here for another year? Or still, the final analysis is, we are a 3-10 football team that should not be a 3-10 football team, in my estimation.
Yeah, I think they both count, because you have to also consider the loss to the Eagles earlier this year when he did have his full roster, or close to it, and that was an unacceptable effort, I thought. The first half in Dallas earlier this year, I thought, was an unacceptable effort. And even though there were injuries when they went to Tampa a few weeks ago, from start to finish, that was an unacceptable effort. So those games also count. But you do have to like how this team is still playing for this coaching staff right now. This is a far cry from the end of 2014, when the team had clearly quit on Mark Trestman, right? And it was obvious that they had to make a change and blow the whole coaching staff up to get a different response. So I think with this roster and to see an effort like they got today, it does help John Fox. And I do think that you weigh the pros, you weigh the cons. I think there's a really good chance John Fox is back. And if it were up to me, the only way I would even probably make a change, this whole report this week about Vic Fangio was bizarre to me. I think that guy should clearly be the most valued coach on this entire staff. And if for some reason it did come down to either keeping John Fox or Vic Fangio, maybe you promote Vic Fangio.
Right.
Because he is worth that much. You know, I had people suggest that to me at the end of last season with Adam Gase, and I kind of thought that was a little crazy. And
so did I, Adam. But it's right.
Probably guilty of kind of dismissing that idea too quickly, because there is some sense there when you look back on it. And if it happens again here with Vic Fangio, who's a much more even qualified coach and more respected coach even within his locker room, you got to keep Vic Fangio around no matter what.
So when that goes down this week and Fox gets up there and he can't believe the report and then Fangio disputes it, can you go behind the scenes as to how they work that out? Hey, I'm going to go up there and say this, and then you're going to say that, and then we're all good, and then we'll see what happens after the season when it all really shakes out.
Yeah, it's tough for me because I was off all week, and this thing really, like I said, kind of shocked me. But look, when stuff like this comes up, and Vic did talk about it, saying that they did have a meeting, that John Fox told them about the report, and they clearly discussed it. And the PR staff gets involved too, right? And they say, hey, this is how you got to address the media, and this is how you attack this thing. And the best thing to do is to make it sound like the report's crazy and there's absolutely no truth to it. But you consider the source of the information, and you, not only that, you saw kind of a double down by multiple other reporters at the Chicago Tribune this week, the next day after John Fox and Vic Fangio denied it. So to me, there's probably something there. I'm surprised by it, but there's probably something there. And this isn't the first time that John Fox has clashed with another coach or management. We saw how it went down with John Elway. He's not always the most well-liked guy and probably easiest guy to work with. So that part doesn't surprise me. But if there's any chance that you're going to lose Vic Fangio over this and you let it happen, well, that's going to be the first sign to me, and maybe not the first sign, but a huge sign to me that there's some questionable decision-making going on above the head coaching level. When so far, I think those moves from the front office have mostly been positive, and it's been more of a coaching issue so far.
Adam, the situation is I've been around long enough, I've seen it long enough, is that when you're a 3-10 team, or you won two games, or you're like Cleveland, you haven't won a game, usually towards the end of the season, these are the stories that crop up. These are the things between maybe a player, the players, or a player and a position coach, or between two coaches. I mean, we've seen it before, and I'm sure if this did happen, I'm sure there's a lot of friction. A lot of friction. And the point I'm trying to make is it's not a mystery to me. I mean, if something like that happened, I fully understand it because I've seen it many, many times.
Well, and we saw it, right, 2 years ago with the whole Aaron Cromer nonsense. What was that, week 15? So we're almost to that point where, you know, you got one coordinator throwing some players under the bus. The head coach doesn't know how to respond, put the fire out. And that was already a few weeks after I thought the team had already, especially on the defensive side, had already quit. So then you had the offense quit, right? So I think you're absolutely right, but you also then want to see how the team responds when they take the field, right? So for them to respond the way they did today in Detroit, play as hard as they did and almost steal a victory on the road, I think there is some friction, but I don't think it's to the point where it's affecting the locker room, if that makes sense.
I think these guys are so young, though, and they're all individually trying to secure a spot that they're not quitting.
But here's the point, gentlemen.
They're so young.
Here's the point. That can erupt again in a certain situation when they're all together or on a sideline of a game or out at Hallis Hall. And so somebody's got to keep a strict watch over this and make sure with three weeks remaining, Adam, what I'm saying is that this thing doesn't blow up, and it very well could.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, Ryan Pace is really going to get tested here a little bit, right? I know it seems like John Fox kind of has more power at times because he's always the voice representing the franchise, and Ryan Pace kind of disappears for the entire regular season and you don't see him. But this organization still backs Ryan Pace, and he has the power. So it's up to him to kind of gauge this situation and to see if it's something where they can patch it up and keep it all together for at least one more year. And if not, then you got to make a choice. And I think I made it already pretty clear where I would go if it comes down to that. I'd still be surprised if it does, but anything's possible, I guess, when you're 3-10 and things aren't going your way.
Adam, great stuff. How's the little man?
He's doing well. He's seriously running down the hallways now at this point. We're so happy and thrilled with all the support we've gotten this week, and we thank everybody for that because it's made this tough week a lot easier. And today was the first day I've ever been able to watch a Bears game with him, so that was pretty cool.
Good for you.
That's
for
awesome.
You.
Well, Adam, God bless, and that's wonderful news.
All right, thanks, guys.
We'll read you at WGNRadio.com, Adam. Thanks, Hoagie. You're the man.
See you.
Adam Hoag covering the Bears.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Good to have you along on a Sunday afternoon, even when the Bears lose their 10th game on the year, now 3-10, as the Lions come back to beat them late, 20-17. Bears actually had the lead with 7 minutes to go after a pick six, but did not work out in the end. The drive of the game, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. Kazi, what do you got?
Well, I'd say in the third quarter, the Bears were trailing 13-3, and they put together a four-play, 75-yard drive, 2 minutes and 16 seconds. And Barkley to Meredith, the 31-yard touchdown pass, one of the few times, Ed, this year, where they didn't play scared-to-death football and threw the ball down the field for a beautiful pass and touchdown. And, you know, Meredith and Barkley hooked up, and it's a shame that maybe that might have been the better combo at the end of the game, but, you know, you can't change what it is.
You know, to go back, Dan, when you played, if you had – when you're down and you're the defense was beyond belief – and you're fighting every quarter, keeping it. And every time your offense gets down in there, they put the brakes. I'm talking about in the red zone, preferably like the 20-yard end, supposedly the red zone. I'm talking more like about the 35, 40-yard line. And they don't try to put six on the board. If that went on week after week after week, would you or would somebody grab some coach and somebody say something to somebody?
Hamp?
Yes.
Well, you know, and I mean, again, this is almost redundant. Yeah. You know, they get down, they start tapping the brakes. You're saying, what are you doing? Go into the end zone. And again, Matt Barkley's pass. See, those are the things. When you, it's easy to say, I'm going to do this. But when you see people that actually do it, you know you have confidence in calling it not only once a game or once every 3 weeks, but
every time
more.
You get in there.
Every
right.
time you get in there, at least take two shots. Do what you can to score points. This game is not about who looks better in the uniform.
Who's winning 9-6.
More yards on the ground. It's about scoring points. And we, like I said, we get down there, and as you said, OB, hey, let's lock it up here. We're at the 25. Let's settle down here.
Keep it close.
We're getting texts here, OB, because you're talking about the coaching. They're asking, how was it different when you played as far as getting guys ready versus how it's going today? What would you say to that?
Oh, my God. Night and day. I mean, well, I think when Dan played, they had a great defensive coordinator, and we had a great defensive coordinator, and he went on to be head coach out of Los Angeles and in Washington, a guy by name of,
George Allen.
George Allen.
Pretty good coach.
And, oh, my God.
Pretty good coach.
He's in the Hall of Fame, folks. And it came back to when I played, we defensively, in the year 63, when we won a world championship, I think we broke like 14 or 17 National Football League records, and all our offense had to do was score 10 points, and you wouldn't have lost the game. And we did things. We actually changed the rules of how the game was played. Back in 63, we would take down, we would take out wideouts. Receivers, they never get off the line of scrimmage. A tight end would never get off the line of scrimmage. He'd catch a forearm in the chops. And we'd blitz. I mean, we did all kinds of things. We did zones. We did revolves. It was overshift the line. We did all kinds of stuff. But I can tell you this, our offense wasn't a juggernaut back at that time either. But I'll tell you what, if I'm playing in today's game, the way the rules are, it makes it a passing game. I'm telling you this, if I'm playing that defense, and we're stopping them, and we're keeping them in, game after game, quarter after quarter, and waiting for somebody to do something. When our offense gets down in the red zone, and it doesn't happen, I can lay you 8-5. If that happened back in 63, a half wouldn't have gone by. Doug Atkins or Bill George would have been at Luke Johnson's throat, who was the offensive coordinator. But George Allen was the key, just as with Danny, they had a defensive coordinator,
Buddy Ryan,
who was the key, and he was phenomenal.
Hey, by the way, the reason they had to change the rules that year, because they were doing all these criminal acts and mugging people on the field in broad daylight.
Just smug them before they even get the play going.
Is that how you say it?
we got to do something to stop these guys.
These guys are menaces.
we actually did. I mean, it was incredible. Those whiteouts went out there, and they'd be shaking in their boots because they know they're going down. They're supposed to be doing a fly pattern. They did a fly pattern
for
about a
step. Yeah, just the sideline, yeah.
let's service the people. There's video evidence of all that, and it's very, very fun to watch. Ed, Lake in the Hills, thanks for being patient. Welcome to Hampton OB with
Hey, man, real quick, I got three things.
Yeah.
Bellamy, the Sammy Sosa equivalent of catching a ball. You get my drift? Sammy Sosa with a hop. There you go, Bellamy. Catch your feet, all right? Two, Fox. When it comes to Fox, release the hounds, all right?
Yeah.
And three, you guys be careful driving home.
Thank you.
I know you, Cod. You live up here in Wakanda, man. You better be careful.
You got it, Ed. Right, thank guys? You. You got it.
You
thanks.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate
Release
you.
Release the hounds.
I love that. Release the hounds. Dan, there's your line for the night. Yep. Release the hounds.
Quick timeout. 1.5 hour to go as we got Blackhawks hockey coming
up. You know,
the
one thing you'd love to get a player on or catch one of these players today. I'm talking about a defensive player. And the defense has done well all year. We can win a Super Bowl with this defense, okay? We don't have to just go offense. But I'll tell you what, it's got to be burning them. If I'm sitting on that side and we got to stop them and do miracle interceptions and everything to keep us in the game, and we get down there in the 10-yard line, 12-yard line, 15-yard line, and not one time do we try to put six on the board,
well,
that's frustrating as hell.
Well, and early in the year, we saw some frustration from some of the defensive guys, although it wasn't necessarily delivered in the best way with Pernell McPhee that I'm talking about.
Right.
Quick timeout here. We got to get to news. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Lions 20, Bears 17. Up next for your Chicago Bears, they're coming home, OB. You get to relive the Green Bay Packers. Noon kickoff next Sunday. Then it's the Redskins on Christmas Eve Day, which is a Saturday. And then one more road game at the Vikings on New Year's Day.
So, Mark, we used to play the Packers back in the day.
Yes.
Three times a year.
I didn't know that. I should know that.
An exhibition game every year up in Milwaukee.
County Stadium, right.
Okay.
Shriners game.
Okay.
And between when Hallis and Vince Lombardi were on the field, they hated each other. And when they're off the field, they loved each other. But when we played that game, I'm telling you, that was for blood. You know.
The exhibition
not
game.
Not theirs, ours. We would play that game. It's an exhibition game. And it's, you know, it's like late in the middle of the fourth quarter, third quarter, and nobody played. We played the entire game. One time, we were winning, and we were tossing a shutout against them, and right there was a few minutes to go, and Bart Stires, the quarterback's in there, and the Packers are marching, and we had all the subs were in there, and the old man said, "Get in there, defense, get in there." I just said, "What the hell did he say?" So we've been sitting on the bench for about 10 minutes. We went in there, and oh, my God. Well, I mean, we stopped him. But it was he would not let the Packers and Vince Lombardi in an exhibition game score.
I had a couple of people at work ask me this week, what did OB think of Hallis? So I said I would ask.
Very simple, love and hate. Much as I loved them, as much as I hated them, but whatever. That's the basic relationship I had.
You respected them, though, when it was all said and done.
Sure.
You know.
What did Hamp and Kaz think of Ditka?
Well, I loved him. I enjoyed playing for him.
You know, in my perspective on Ditka changed a lot. You know, when it was the heyday with Buddy Ryan, well, you know, you couldn't play both sides of the fence. So we almost
pick a side, right?
Yeah, we almost kind of like you know hated Ditka a little bit, and then you know in '86 and '87, by his own accord, he made some bad decisions. You know, during the strike, he said some stupid stuff that haunted him, But by the end of my career, I loved the guy, and I understood a lot of his madness. But the thing about Ditka was so great was he had been on a championship team with Ed. He had played in a Super Bowl in Dallas a number of times, coached on a Super Bowl.
Right.
So he was around great teams. And he was almost like this buffoon fox making excuses and equivocating about why they didn't win. And he wouldn't accept it. He would not accept it. He was driven. And that drove us. But I'll never forget little Dan's over here and we were at a Rum Chata event about a month ago, and a guy brought in a 1986 Sports Illustrated story. And I'd never seen it before because back then you was so busy, you never had time to look at this stuff. So I was reading it, and I started laughing. And little Dan goes, what are you laughing at? Ditka, this reporter, goes, so tell me, who are the Chicago Bears? He goes, we're not a football team. We're a freak show. And I was laughing. And at the time, I probably would have taken umbrage. But he was right. We were a freak show. We're out of control. And you know what? I mean, that's the way Ditka was. He just called it the way it was. And we loved him for that.
You know, one sad thing, Dan, in that era, when you played, I know, like back in 80, I think it was 84, you know, 85, you guys were the youngest team in the National Football League. And to have a team with that amount of talent, and I know what drove me nuts. We won it in 63, and we're going to come back 64. So we're going to be there. We're there. Boy, it was just absolute disaster for a couple of different reasons. But I'm going to tell you what, for you guys have that kind of talent, Dan, and the fact you never even got back to the Super Bowl to win or lose it, that has to be in your crawl.
Thanks a lot, Obi. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Hey, I will say, though.
Okay, and this is a perfect segue. Folks, here again, Obi was right. I think we were the youngest team in football the year we won the Super Bowl. And to not get back, it's almost criminal. But part of the reason was, as good as – and the next year, we were number one in the NFL in
quarterback.
Defense. Quarterback was a big – but Ditka went out after Buddy took the head coaching job in Philadelphia, and he got a defensive coordinator by the name of Vince Tobin, who was competent but nowhere near like Buddy Ryan as far as a innovator and a motivator. And the reason – and we're like, what'd you get this guy? He wants to play bend-don't-break defense, and that's exactly the antithesis of what we were. We were attack and kill people. Ditka wanted a guy like that because he could control it.
Right.
Now, that segues into this feud between John Fox and Vic Fangio, in my mind. I've said this for the last 6 weeks, that I am, and we all agree that this team was totally unprepared through the preseason, through the months of September and October. The season was over before we realized, hey, there has to be hard work and production from all three phases of the game, and we've gotten it against Minnesota. We got it today. We've gotten it in spots and spurts. But most importantly, I think this rift between John Fox and Vic Fangio hinges on the fact that, let's go back, Lovie Smith went to the Super Bowl with Ron Rivera as his defense coordinator.
Ran him out, huh?
And basically threw him out. Why? Because Lovie is smart enough to know if things go bad, they've got a perfect head coach candidate right here at Hallis Hall. So he'll be promoted and I'll be thrown out. So what did Lovie do? Hey, I'm going to get rid of, you know, the next best thing. Well, I think there's a lot
of that.
Wasn't
there a philosophy difference, too, on how to play defense? Ron wanted to charge and Lovie wanted to play back?
No, not really. No, Ed. No, that wasn't it. I'm telling you. Look,
well,
you know,
Ronnie wouldn't play that soft cover two as much. Ronnie wanted to be more proactive.
That's what I'm talking about.
But the point is, there was a great coach on the staff that would have been a great head coach candidate, and you don't. It's not like you got to fire the entire staff. You just promote him and keep a lot of the pieces you want. And the same thing could be said in a large part about Vic Fangio as the head coach. There's no question in my mind, Vic Fangio is one of the top two or three defensive coordinators in all of football. Look at what he has accomplished this year with a dead man walking offense with three different quarterbacks and a rookie running back, a bunch of nobody receivers, tight ends you get off the street. And yet, they were the number seven defense in all of football with all the injuries and suspensions and a bunch of DBs that nobody's even heard of. I think Vic Fangio is trying to create a rift to get rid of the only guy that he's kind of
fearful
of. No,
John Fox is doing this.
John Fox is trying to get rid of, James Bond, who's looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, James Bond, right.
If that's true, then that's really sad.
It happened with Lovey.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
It happens
in the
National
Football
League.
It's sad as hell, my friend, when it comes to that.
Let's give some love to Mr. Submarine. Thanks again for the sandwiches. Good food at a tasty price. That's Mr. Submarine, MrSubmarine.com. Quickly, our quarterback comparison. I want to continue to follow up on what you're talking about. We got to do our quarterback comparison, which is sponsored by Westfield Ford. Westfield Ford, we're straightforward people, and straightforward prices are just a whistle away. Today, it was a great day for Matt Barkley, as Barkley was 20 of 32 for 212 yards, one touchdown, and a quarterback rating of 92.2, which was far superior to Matthew Stafford, 21 of 35 with one touchdown and two interceptions, quarterback rating of 64.3.
And I got to tell you, that's very generous. Matt Stafford made 10 bad decisions and throws in that game. Barkley had one. I can't exactly remember where it was. He was trying to force it in.
Yeah, it should have gotten picked, right?
But, Matt Stafford, I think, is the second highest paid player in the world of pro football. And for this kid, out of nowhere, to go into Detroit, this wasn't in Soldierville where Stafford was on. No. He outplayed him in all facets. But a lot of that is attributed to what, Cause? Vic Fangio's defense.
Yep.
Hampton OB sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group, sponsored by Parent Petroleum. Hampton OB and Kaz also recommending to you to take home a piece of history from the Chicago Tribune. Get your own Cubs memorabilia, including the newspaper from the historic win. You visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com now. Our final timeout will get you ready for next week with the Packers. Give you an update on what's going on around the NFL and finish up a little bit more with Fangio and Fox. That's all in the last segment, 720 WGN. Wrapping up here, Hampton OB with Kaz has been presented by your local Chevy dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com. And OB, Green Bay coming to Soldier Field for a noon kickoff next Sunday. The next game preview sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford. Number one in what matters most, that would be you. The Packers right now are leading Seattle 21-3. Green Bay at 6-6, fighting for their playoff lives. So it's a game that's going to have a lot at stake for the green and gold.
Yeah, well, like we went up to Detroit, they know that we're not a good football team. But, they had to win the game, come hell or high water. And the Packers come in here. I'd love to see us dismantle the Packers. But it's going to be a tough thing because they got, I don't know, Dan and Glenn, they got, what, a couple of their players back on defense?
Yeah.
Matthew's back on defense, and it's going to be probably going to be a tough game.
And
cold.
Aaron Rodgers made the prediction we won't lose again, and they've won two in a row, and they're thrashing Seattle right now.
Exactly. And now, folks, I always tell you about stretching the field week after week after week. Watch the Green Bay Packers here. You talk about stretching the field. It's coming.
Yeah, you're right. The offense goes through Aaron Rodgers. And when he has enough, complementary players, Levante Adams has really become the yin to the yang of Jordy Nelson. They can't double Jordy because Adams has been better. Starks, Eddie Lacy's out. Starks missed a month. They had nobody running the ball. They had a receiver. They got two corners back. Clay Matthews is not as healthy as he should be, but he changes the complexion of a game.
He's
so
a force to be reckoned
with. Then the corners are back, at least the backup corners.
Yeah, when we played,
as opposed to guys that you never heard of.
Right. We went up there and the Packers beat us. But, we were kind of in the game. Well, they're better now than they were then, and it's not going to be easy.
Green Bay 21, the Seahawks 3, and another big day as Jordy Nelson started out the season awful slow, but he's already got five catches today, 38 yards, and has found his way into the end zone. So that guy's been rounding back into form. Yes,
they found their way into the what did you say?
It was the end zone.
The end zone.
Yes, that's.
Yeah, well, they see. Here's what happens. Aaron Rodgers throws the ball into the end zone, which then allows Nelson and Adams and these other guys,
you know what,
to catch it, in the end zone.
You know, Glenn and to our listeners out there, for you. I mean, you sit here and we watch this. I mean, it's borders. It's unbelievable. How is it that we cannot go into the end zone and try to put six on the board? And this has been going on for 13 games. It's unreal.
Everybody stay safe on the roads. We've got a lot of snow going on, and we'll keep you up to date all night long, even with the Blackhawks coming up here. Pregame at the bottom of the hour. We'll see you next Sunday with the Bears and the Packers. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovic. JeffVuk.com. Serving our area for 38 years nationwide. On your side, JeffVuk.com. Blackhawks hockey coming right up on 720 WGN.